Hello, everyone, and welcome, finally welcome back, excuse me, to another episode 279 of the 8-Bit Adventures podcast. It's been way too long, about 6 months for those who have been keeping track. A little nervous getting back in the saddle, not gonna lie. Excuse me, I'm still with the really bad air quality here on the East Coast, dealing with all that Canadian wildfires and stuff. The 8-Bit Adventures is back, bringing you the latest and greatest geeky news of the week. Doing a little bit of a format change for those who have been fans of the podcast for a while. Just to kind of make things easier on myself, and I'll get into why we were on hiatus for about 6 months. We're just going to do the podcast is just going to transition to just being quick fire news. So we're just going to, it's going to cut it down. It'll be a shorter show. Kind of to coincide with, I myself don't commute all that much anymore, which cut into a lot of my podcast time. So to kind of just cut it down to a little bit more digestible podcast, and, not necessarily do like a big, not to tack on a big singular topic in addition to the news wrap up each week. But instead, if there's going to be like a big topic to cover, whether it's like a big game release or a movie, release or something, like the big Activision Blizzard fiasco or the numerous Wizards of the Coast fiascos and everything, I'll just do a second, episode for that week. And just plan that out and try and figure out when to do it and whether to do it live or anything like that. So the reason being to do the format change and the reason why. So many reasons, some of them good, some of them bad for the hiatus. Among the good reasons is finally I got chapter one of the 8-Bit Adventures comic done. It's in a book format. You can buy it right now on the merch store. So nice little, it's not a big book, it's maybe about 30 pages, which is not a lot for a comic book if you really think about it, but it was one of the things where I finally set out to do it, and it took me a few years longer than I planned, and I finally did it. So I did that, got that all squared away. And then I got cancer. Specifically thyroid cancer. So I had surgery a few months ago to remove my thyroid. And now I'm on medication. I don't have to do radiology or radiation therapy or chemotherapy or anything like that. So that's all good. But then I had a number of other health problems that also popped up conveniently around the same time. So the spring was absent. So basically from December through April had basically been a miserable, 4 months for me. Just health wise, physical health, mental health, and then trying to get back on track and just back in the swing of things. And so now we're here. It's been a lot. And that's why it's taken so long to kind of just get back on track. I haven't even done any comics during this time period. So it's really just been, this is like sort of the first piece of content creation that I've done. Outside of a couple commissions that I did 2 weeks ago. So that's where we're at. And that's also why, the medication I'm on and the condition that I'm in now, I get tired. So to kind of do a shorter show, and just kind of do the meat of it really is, to go over the weekly news wrap up, and just to, kind of spend more time with my family. and do that, because my kids start school, like school in the fall, and so that's sort of a big shift for me as well. So now that I got that out, the big dreaded announcement, the big C word out of the way, so we are going to go back regular weekly schedule, and then as I sort of start to get back into doing this regularly, Stardew Valley streams may start to come back, and comics may start to come back, and maybe some other light gaming streams, maybe for an hour here or there. Yeah. So that's that. So why don't we get into the news items for this week? Okay, so first things up, first things first, Captain America 4, Marvel has announced that the film so it will not be titled Captain America 4. It will be titled Brave New World. So this is part of Phase 4, I think. I think it'll be part of Phase 4. I don't think we've hit Phase 5 yet. But sort of to pick up where Falcon and Winter Soldier left off, and all that stuff. So yeah, so that news sort of broke this past week. Next up, Critical Role. So to talk about this, they had a joint collaboration with Nintendo of America to do a Zelda one-shot as part of a promotion for Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom. The adventure features Liam O'Brien, veteran voice actor. I mean, a lot of the Critical Role cast are veteran voice actors, but no stranger to video game voice acting. Dimension 20's Emily Axford, Omar Najam, who was also in Dimension 20's Court of Fae and Flowers, Robbie Daymond, who was sort of a long-term guest member of Critical Role for Campaign 3, Marisha Ray, and Matthew Mercer, voice of Ganondorf in Tears of the Kingdom as the Game Master. The adventure uses a Powered by the Apocalypse hack that was co-developed by Nintendo Treehouse, which is sort of like a part of Nintendo of America's like localization promotional team, and like QA team. So yeah, I watched it. It was great. If you're a fan of watching sort of actual play tabletop RPGs, highly recommend checking it out. It is up on YouTube, so you do not need a subscription to go see it. And they really lean into just sort of the silliness that you can get with the Zelda system. And by using Powered by the Apocalypse, which is a bit more of a narrative game than Dungeons and Dragons, it really allows them to do sort of weirder stuff, and a little more free-flowing than getting into like sort of the nitty-gritty, like tactical moving on spaces stuff that you get with D&D. So yeah. It's about a 5.5 hour one shot, but I definitely recommend it. And just the level of detail that goes into it. And I mean, in that 5.5 hours, they managed to do something like five or six combats. So that's another thing that you'll never hear with D&D is, you might get like one combat during that time period. Yeah, so unfortunately, this hack is not publicly available, although. I mean, you can basically get the core gist of it if you're familiar with sort of Pipita games, and then a little bit of explanation that they give while they're playing. So for those who are familiar, so Powered by the Apocalypse is a two it's a system that uses two six-sided dice, and you may apply a small bonus or penalty to your roll. Usually the maximum is like +2. and it's a final result of 1 to 6 is bad. A roll of 7 to 8 or roll of 1 to 6 is bad. 7 to 9 is a mixed success, and then 10 or higher is a full success. It also incorporates stamina points in that in order to do stuff during combat, you have to spend stamina points to do it, including defending. And it's just assumed that, like, if you attack, you hit something, and the enemy will have to spend a stamina point in order to actively defend. So, it does some interesting stuff with, like, fusing, combining weapons that they do for Tears of the Kingdom, and really, I think, does a nice job of sort of promoting the game, you know, which is kind of the point. But yeah, they all looked like they had a blast, and it was fun to watch. So, and the fact that it was actually developed, co-developed with Nintendo of America is wild, that we are in sort of this fever dream age of tabletop RPGs, like, getting recognized by major industries. So next up, Diablo 4, the much anticipated Blizzard ARPG, has finally released on PC, PS5, and Xbox. Notably, it is an always online game. There is no offline mode, even if you're playing single player, which is of note because the first player to reach hardcore level 100 had their character permakilled due to a disconnect from the server. Because apparently as an anti-cheat measure, in hardcore modes, if you disconnect, Blizzard treats it as a character death. And so your character will be reset to level 1, and, like, you lose all your stuff. So yeah, as I guess, as a way to prevent people from just, like logging out if they're in the middle of a fight and they're about to die. So instead they just treat, and instead of implementing some way of, like, detecting that, it just treats any sort of disconnect as a character death. So, you could be punished for something entirely outside of your control. So, yay, Blizzard. Next up, everybody won to Switch. This announcement came out of nowhere. This is a sequel to the glorified tech demo Switch launch title. It is releasing on June 30th, and it will feature basically a similar gameplay as the original. Nobody asked for this. You know, 1-2 Switch, like, didn't do super well. The only people kind of bought it were, like, there's not really much else on the Switch at the moment. Maybe I'll play these wacky games. But ultimately, like, it was priced as, like, it was priced as a full launch title, I believe. And really, it should have been, like, $20. But yeah, I believe this is at a reduced price. But it's just, yeah, if you enjoyed 1-2 Switch, this is going to be more of the same. And if you didn't enjoy it, you know, don't get it. Next up, Microsoft. Microsoft is in the news. The Xbox maker will pay $20 million in fines after settling, after a settlement with the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, after it was found to be illegally collecting data from children's accounts on Xbox. This is, so the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, or COPPA, which is in, which I think it was at first in either New York or California, but then has sort of spread to encompass the United States, basically stipulates that online service providers must notify parents of their intentions and seek consent before they can collect and use personal information basically users that are children under the age of 13. And so essentially what happened was there was a form that was still in use until like 2019 to sign up for like an Xbox account. I don't remember which, if it was like Xbox Live or Game Pass or something like that. That basically, you know, kids who were under 13 were going on. And there was no like prompt to like have a parent fill it out and review it. So they would just be able to go in, fill it out. And that collection included like usernames and, you know, personal info. So, you know, name, date of birth, things like that. And then, yeah, Microsoft's maintaining that there was a glitch that happened that prevented that data from being deleted. So it was being retained far longer than it should have. Microsoft maintains that the data was never used, shared, or monetized, and that the procedures that led to this collection and retention of such data has been updated to now be in compliance. You know, essentially, they took that form down, and they put up a new one, and they sort of fixed it so that, like, once you enter your birth date, if it determines that you are under 13, it then has like a pop up that you need to have a parent or guardian basically complete the rest of the form for you. And to get like disclosures and things like that. This is something where, as part of my day job, we kind of run into it a little bit, as I work in ad ops, for my regular day job. You know, and basically, yeah, you can't collect data on kids, you know, for, especially for advertising purposes, which is really what this came from, is, more so with like websites can't harvest children's data to send to advertisers because children are particularly susceptible to advertising. So Microsoft paying a hefty fine and updating their stuff to be in compliance. You know, this is fine. Notably, this will also not be the only time they have to go before the Federal Trade Commission. Because they'll have to go later this summer seeking approval for the Activision Blizzard deal. So we'll stay tuned for that. Up next, Nintendo, again, sort of in the same announcement as everybody wanted to Switch, announced that there will be two new Pastel Joy-Con sets that will release on the same day, so June 30th. These are dual-colored sets, so sort of like a lot of the Joy-Con sets currently, they're like the left and the right are two separate colors, will be a purple and green set. So these are, they're pastel purple and pastel green. The green is notably pretty similar to the Animal Crossing special edition Joy-Cons that came with that sort of special edition Switch. I'm a little sad that they just didn't like make it that blue, so that way you didn't have to buy an Animal Crossing Switch in order to get those Joy-Cons. And then there's a pink and yellow set. They will retail for $80, which is the standard price of a set of Joy-Cons, I believe. So, more options for people. However, they are set to their sides. So I believe it's purple is left and green is right. So like you can't get a green left Joy-Con, unfortunately. It'd be nice if in the United States they, you know, just sold like sets, or you could buy them individually. But yeah. And yeah, I mean, it's essentially Joy-Cons are intended to be a full controller, so they are, I think they're that price. Although these are, they're technically listed as like limited special edition ones, so they might be a little bit more expensive. Next up, Spider-Man 4, the film. Tom Holland confirmed with Variety that talks about the film had officially begun, but that they've halted the process in solidarity with the ongoing writer's strike. Now, whether that's actually true or not, who knows? My guess is they might not have gotten very far in talks anyways without writers. So, that said, you know, Tom Holland has always come across as being sort of a stand-up actor. So I could certainly see him wanting to be in solidarity with writers. So we'll see if there's any new news on that soon. Although if what they say is true, we won't get any new information until the writer's strike has resolved one way or another. Next up, some Magic the Gathering news, a bit of a crossover. So in July, there is a Universes Beyond set releasing that is a crossover with Lord of the Rings. And so it's a full Lord of the Rings set is coming. So as part of that, there is a card for the One Ring. And because, you know, of the name and the nature of it, Wizards is doing a special single card printing of the One Ring. So it's like a special version of the foil and the card text. Like the card text is written in Elvish, and it's like a special foil and everything. And it is a edition one of one. And that will just be bundled in a booster pack somewhere and shipped out across the globe. Public bid announcements have started coming in this week. Last tally I had was, now granted, these are not necessarily binding. It's just people posting on social media like, hey, here's the stipulations. I will pay this much. As of today, current highest bid is $1 million. And of course, like there's all sorts of hoops to like prove that it's real and yada, yada. And then, of course, whether anybody actually is going to pony up the money remains to be seen. But they've started to come in for this one out of one printing. This particular printing is foil, full art, written in Elvish. However, based on a video from Wizards of the Coast that they've already shown off of the card, it hasn't even been packaged yet. And it's already starting to curl. Now, all the people that are submitting bids, they're like, yeah, we know it's curled. If it's curled, it's fine. You know, minimum grading is lightly paid or lightly played, but we want it. So naturally, the meme regarding this now is that you know, people are saying, oh, if I pull it, I don't have any interest in selling it. And instead, of like taking it and throwing it in a volcano, as the fate of the One Ring should be. So, you know, I mean, realistically, it'll get sold, you know, my guess would be probably get sold to Post Malone. As he has sort of become sort of infamous now for sort of high Magic the Gathering bids on his, I think it was $500,000 for a Black Lotus, I think. But yeah, if I were to get it, I don't know what I would do, because, you know, I'm still from an age where dealing with individual sellers on the internet kind of sketches me out. So yeah. And then having to go through the process of getting it graded and verified and whatnot. I don't know. But we'll see. You know, I have some cards pre-ordered to arrive when it releases. But honestly, I don't need it. You know, I'm content with just getting just a regular version of the card. Final piece of news is Doug Cockle, the voice actor for Geralt in the Witcher games, has revealed that he is undergoing treatment for prostate cancer. He says treatment is going well. And he found out from just a sort of random screening that, you know, he didn't really have any indicators. He just sort of decided to get screened for it and found out that he had it. So he encourages, you know, men over 50 to get a PSA test, you know, due to the fact that I have a family history of prostate cancer. I'm going to say, you know, especially if you have a family history, you know, if you're at least 30, probably doesn't hurt to start thinking about it. At least like to get like, cause there's markers that you can get tested, with blood tests. So for those who are at risk for it, I will say, since it is Pride Month, so, because depending on where you're at, you know, trans women may also be at risk for this. So get tested, folks. Yeah, because you can check for it, unlike thyroid cancer, where usually you don't know you have it until a mass shows up, like it did for me. And that wraps up our news for this week. So thank you all for listening to sort of this newer, shorter version of the 8-Bit Adventures podcast. If you would like to check out more content from 8-Bit Adventures, our website is now at 8bitadventures.com. I don't have to specify the dash or not anymore, since the non-hyphenated version of the domain finally became available, and I snatched that up real quick. So you can just head over to 8bitadventures.com and go check that stuff out. If you'd like to support my content, the best way to do that is to become a patron over at patreon.com/8bitadventures. That covers everything that I do. So rather than breaking out by project, so it's not a case of like the podcast has its own Patreon, the comic has its own Patreon, it's just one Patreon. So for as little as $1 a month, it supports everything. And big shout out and thank you to all of my current patrons. Thank you so much for your support during this time. And finally, as always, big shout out and thank you, continued shout out and thank you since 2015, 16 to Professor Shy Guy for letting me use his instrumental version of One Up for the opening theme to this podcast whole time. So big shout out and thank you to Professor Shy Guy. Go check out his work, ProfessorShyGuy.bandcamp.com. He's got great stuff, great chiptune, both original and covers. So that is going to wrap things up. So thank you all for joining me. If you are basically in the eastern half of the United States, please stay safe. Please stay indoors as much as you can the next few days or so. And as always, have fun, happy gaming, and enjoy your pie cake.